CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor from the surface of the planet Earth. We're to the surface of the planet Mars and just off with a helicopter. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. This is Ingenuity's descendant in the future. Bob, a very good evening to you. A helicopter mission on Mars seemed daring when Perseverance was launched with its little buddy, the flying toaster Ingenuity. Now that Ingenuity is a repeated success, you're identifying a much bigger and more ambitious mission. What is it, Bob? Good evening.
Well, this is a scoop, John, and maybe your listeners are hearing it first because no one else has reported this. And I dug it up out of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter archive of images that come down each month. I started to notice images labeled Candidate Mars Science Helicopter Traverse. And at first, I just thought this was related to Ingenuity, but then at one time, I took a closer look and suddenly realized there are three sets of these images. All three are double images, stereoscopic, so they can get really good topography. So three sets at three different locations, and all three are located in the biggest canyon in the solar system, Valles Marineris. All three look at the southern interior slopes of that canyon on its eastern end. And so I put up a post today on Behind the Black showing where this is and discussing what might be the plan here. Unfortunately, the scientists who request these images, I've tried for 3 weeks, would not respond to my request for information. It might be that it's just too preliminary and doesn't want to comment. But all I can do is show the images and where it covers. These images cover a stretch along that southern interior rim of about 400 miles. Now, a mission might not cover that distance. They might just simply be doing images of potential landing spots. And what they're doing is that these images focus at the base of the canyon, to see if there are enough flat areas in there for a helicopter to land. And there are. These images show that there'd be plenty of places. And of course, what the helicopter would probably do is it would land in the base, but then it would fly up and look at the slope itself and the geology and the many layers within the slopes, like the Grand Canyon. Think of the layers in the Grand Canyon. And then land again, and it would move along that whole interior canyon. So anyway, we don't yet know what the specific plan is, but it's very clear that the success of Ingenuity in Jezero Crater has gotten at least one scientist beginning preliminary work on a proposed dedicated helicopter mission to Mars, and the location he's looking at is probably the most spectacular geological location on Mars, Valles Marineris, the canyon.
And Bob, Ingenuity's great success is not just that it was sustained. It's that it gave them a perspective that they did not know they could have. And this helicopter would do the same thing, although it suggests it would be the forerunner of more exploration, correct? This wouldn't be a one-off.
Well, the key about a helicopter is that it can go places a rover can't and do it quicker. Ingenuity proved that you know, a rover can drive up some steep slopes. It can go look at the cliffs of the canyon of Valles Marineris. It just can't get to those spots. But a helicopter can, and it can cover more territory. That's what Ingenuity showed. And so, you know, obviously any future helicopter mission is going to be designed quite differently than Ingenuity, which was just simply to prove up and down flights, and it could take pictures of the ground. A helicopter that's going to be dedicated is going to probably want to have some of the same equipment that the rovers have. And, of course, this is an engineering problem because weight has to be limited. So you can't put as much on it, but obviously it can have tools to do a lot of the kind of things that the rovers do. For example, the rovers have these laser zappers, which allow them to do study the ground and the geology there and the chemistry. That's something you probably could put on a rover, on a helicopter without much weight. And so that's the kind of thing that they're going to look at. It's big news.
The surface of Mars, Bob's flying through the grand canyon of the solar system, but at the same time, he's providing pictures that they're so compelling, Bob. It just seems like we should be taking a walk across this desert.
You said it, John. I mean, I had three over the weekend. I came across three really cool images from the two rovers, Curiosity and Perseverance, and Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. So I posted all three, and so let's talk about them. The first is from Curiosity. It's still in the mountains, and what it did is it took a new close-up images looking at the mountains it's approaching, and so I posted that because it's really incredible. You're basically seeing four different ranges. The nearest, it's not far away. It's only probably 100 or so feet away, but then you see four distant ranges going off into the distance, and these images show us the dusty winter atmosphere of Mars. It's not as clear. It's almost like a Da Vinci painting with the chiaroscuro effect as things fade away into the distance, and it's quite compelling, as you say, John. And then I had a picture from Perseverance, similar picture. This is a picture looking across to the west, southwest, towards the rim of the crater, looking past the delta that the rover is beginning to climb. And once again, the same thing, that winter air, dusty air of Mars is making this fading effect, but you get to see, you know, ranges and parts of the delta that flowed into the canyon, and it's as one of my readers commented after looking at this, it's unearthly, which is literally true. And finally, John, I had a third image from the orbit. This was actually an image of the day from the science team of the high-resolution camera on Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, and it's in the polar regions of the North Pole. And what happens in the North Pole during the winter months is that the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere falls as dry ice snow in the northern latitudes and the caps, and puts a mantle down of dry ice on top of the surface for the winter. And then when summer comes, it sublimates away, goes back into the atmosphere. And in the process of sublimating away, it produces dark streaks of various colors on the surface. And this is what this image shows near the pole and explained. You actually have two streaks coming out of some of these in different directions, because what happens is it starts to sublimate away, and the prevailing winds blows it one way and produces a dark streak, and then it might seal up again, and then it reopens again and produces a new dark streak when the winds are blowing in a different direction. You get two different streaks. Kind of cool. It's an alien place, John.
It looks like a Mad Taylor, Bob. This is with the thread marks forming these. Variously, they are rectangles, right?
Polygons is the term they use. This image is complicated and it shows a lot of different things. The polar ice cap of Mars is mostly water, ice. And what happens is the ice, like mud cracks, when mud begins to dry, it will form polygon cracks if it starts to sublimate away, and that'll form these various cracks you see. And it is the cracks that, when the dry ice mantle starts to sublimate away, it's where these fissures or cracks is where the sublimation will occur first, and that's where you get these streaks. And so you're looking at ice, you're looking at water ice, you're looking at dry ice. You're looking at dry ice turning into gas. It's an alien place, without question.
What is Kitt Peak Observatory, Bob?
Kitt Peak Observatory was one of the first national observatories built for astronomers here in Arizona on top of the mountain, Kitt Peak. And there's like 20-plus telescopes there. About a week ago, this is fire season in the southern Arizona area, and until the monsoons come, and the monsoons have just arrived. But before they came, about a week ago, a fire started, a wildfire started just below Kitt Peak. And it was a very fast-burning fire, and the fire crews got out there and barely were able to save the telescopes. Last report is that all telescopes themselves were protected and not damaged. They did lose four different buildings that were administrative-type buildings, which means some maybe data has been lost, or at least backup data, but they haven't lost any of the telescopes, and that's a good thing.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space engineering next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.